Just to add my own welcome to you here this morning. Lovely to have you here if you're a visitor with us today. My name's Simon. I'm the vicar here at Christ Church. And we do want to spend a moment and pause to think about the theme of this morning as we remember those who've lost lives in global conflicts, two world wars, and many subsequently. So let's just be quiet for a moment. I'm going to pray that God will help us as we think about this big theme today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I actually had quite a lot of resonance with Tim as he confessed to a memory that occasionally fails. I don't know what your memory is like, but certainly as we get a little bit older, the computer's getting a bit full, needs defragging, and perhaps a bit of extra memory put in. And have a lot of sympathy for a story I heard about a couple of elderly couples who were having dinner together, and the husbands went off into the kitchen to sort of put the coffee cups down, and one of them said to the other, "I hear you had a lovely summer holiday this year. Where did you go?" And the elderly gentleman said, it was lovely. It was hot, and it was beach. I can't remember." He said, "Just help me out here a minute. What's that red, highly scented flower?" And his friend looked a bit bemused. You know the one with a long stem and that's got thorns on it." And his friend, "Oh, rose." He said, yes, that's right, rose. "Rose, where do we go on holiday this summer?" Well, Remembrance Sunday, that's why we're here. And it does us good to remember. We need help remembering. And there may be all sorts of things that you do to help yourself personally remember key things. If you steal my mobile phone, you know I've had it because all of my memory is there on the phone. But of course, this season, we remember a number of things. I don't know whether you saw any fireworks this past week. They're celebrating and recollecting an act of remembrance. And we used to say this little ditty when I was a child. "Remember, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. We see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot." And okay, they seem to go off every week of the year around here now, but traditionally the 5th of November has been to remind us of this thwarted great act of treason by throwing fireworks into the air. And then, of course, these words that we've already thought about this morning, recollecting the poppy field, Flanders Field, we often say these words, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." And how appropriate and right it is that we pause once a year to think about those who shed blood in order to purchase peace. And so we want to remember their great sacrifice. Actually, remembering is a key part of the Christian faith. It was there in both of our passages this morning. And it's a major theme through the Bible that we remember not only one another, but actually our Lord God. And there are many things that he has done in order to help us remember him. So in our second reading, if you want to follow it, actually, it's on page 1195 in the Bibles that are in your chairs, page 1195, Paul's final letter to Timothy. And as Paul was writing this letter, when you read the very end of it, he's very aware that his life is nearly over and that he expects to go home to be with his maker. And so He writes to Timothy and all those who will read this letter so that we might carry on in the faith that he has expounded for us. And actually, Paul probably had in mind the soldier who, at this point, he may well have even been chained to. Roman soldiers, quite a good depiction of the one up on this picture here, were to be feared, not least because they were very disciplined and obedient in following the wishes of their masters in the Roman Empire. And Paul says this, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And then he alludes a little bit later in verse 9, "That's why I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." And there are a number of things that he encourages Timothy to remember. He encourages him to think that he has been enlisted by God in active duty. Actually, this picture of sacrifice and suffering and single-mindedness is quite dominant in the Bible. Because we believe God has made the ultimate sacrifice for us, we ourselves give ourselves over in service to Almighty God, willing to uphold for truth and uphold justice in our land, willing to suffer for the sake of what is right. And in order to do that, Paul says, Timothy, you need to be single-minded. The soldier is released from other activities and other labor in order that they can obey their commanding officer and do what they say. That's the picture of the Christian life that Paul wants to expound and explain. Then he goes on to say several things about remembering. But before we get to the particular verse in 2 Timothy, notice some of the big themes about remembering that are in the Bible. So, for example, every week we will gather around the Lord's table and we will break bread, we'll pour wine, and hear the words of the Lord Jesus on the night before he died, "Do this in remembrance of me." What we're supposed to think when we eat bread and when we drink wine is that in some way or other, we're standing at the foot of the cross as Jesus' body is broken and his blood is poured out as he makes the ultimate sacrifice for us. And there's something very powerful about taking Holy Communion as Christian believers, because we, in a sense, participate in it all over again every time we eat and drink in this way. He also says, remember the Sabbath day. It's one of the commandments that we have up on the wall down there at the east end of the church. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I think what Moses had in mind here as he articulated the words of the Lord was not just that you should put it in your diary, not just that you should sort of get to the end of the day and go, I just clean forgot it was the Sabbath. But rather that remembering included the act of living differently as a result. Actually, that's quite a challenge to our own culture, isn't it? When every day of the week is the same almost as any other. That's a whole other sermon. But there was something about the rhythm of life in which one day in seven, the people of Israel were to stop and they were to remember the Lord. And that's the reason why they weren't intended to work. They were intended to trust God to provide for them on a day they didn't work. And they were intended to remember the Lord, to come together in worship. And actually, I think we're much worse off as a nation now that Sunday looks like every other day of the week. There should be a day when we come together to remember him. Yes, breaking bread and drinking wine. Yes, hearing his word. But also to break up the rhythm of work so we have a day of enjoying God's creation. So remember the Sabbath day. And you're getting the theme here that there's something active about it. It's not just a matter of not forgetting where you went on holiday, but it's actually something active about the remembering. And similarly, and I've already alluded to it, remember his sacrifice in all sorts of ways. Isn't it powerful, the picture of the cross, and actually great to have poppies there, very powerful symbol today. The cross brings to mind his sacrifice. And in a sense, that what's a torture symbol, really, it's almost like having an electric chair hanging around your neck, is intended to evoke active recollection of what Jesus did for us. And hence, therefore, in our passage this morning, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. So what might that mean for you and for me? Some 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Well, certainly it means that we shouldn't forget, which was the pattern of the people of God right throughout the ages leading up to Jesus arriving on earth. It's epitomized here in the Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. And I don't know about you, but in the busyness of life, in the frenetic 24/7 world that we live in, how easy it is for God to be just in the back of my mind, easily forgetting him and carrying on life as if he wasn't really interested in my life or in the world. So remembering Jesus is something that's active. Just like remembering the Sabbath day, just like remembering to eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of him, it's actually something we need to actively do. There's some practical things associated with it. So remembering his word means I need to open it and read it. And I'd love to help you if you want ways in which you can read the Bible for yourself. Remembering to meet regularly with God's people. That's what Hebrews says, do not give up the habit of meeting together. And there are very practical things that enable us to remember. You've probably heard preachers tell this story before, but coming together in church is a little bit like gathering around the warmth of an open fire. You know, that we enjoy the warmth of fellowship, we enjoy one another's company, we feel fortified as we meet together as God's people. And therefore we need each other. And as the elderly preacher once demonstrated to his young grandson, if you take one of those coals out of the fire, you put it on the hearth, it doesn't retain its heat, does it? It just slowly dies. And similarly, you know, you can't cope, you can't keep up as a Christian on your own. You need all of these times of meeting together, remembering Jesus, remembering his word, remembering to meet with God's people, because that's when we get warm, when we get hot for God and his service, if you like. So this is a big theme, I think, for us. Remembering Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. You spent much time thinking about him. What a great sacrifice he made for you and for me, the innocent Son of God, who went to the cross to pay with his blood so that we might know peace with the living God. And certainly that's impacted many people down the decades and the centuries, many people here in this room. I actually heard a very heartwarming story about a chap called Arthur Francis Smith. I don't know whether you know this story or not. He was born In December 1890, grew up in a Christian home. His parents taught him to pray, to read the Bible, all the good habits of remembering we've been thinking about. In 1910, he went to Sandhurst and then into the Coldstream Guards and served in England and then in Egypt. Early in World War I, he became part of the 3rd Battalion of the Coldstream Guards. The outbreak of war, he was given by his father a small pocket Bible. And in the first page of that Bible, before he got to the text of the Bible, his father had written Psalm 90, verses 9 to 11, which says this: "For you have made the Lord your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And as his father gave him this little pocket Bible, he said to him, you know, take that Bible with you wherever you go. Carry it in your pocket. And so Arthur Smith had a special pocket made in the lining of his trousers so that he could carry that little Bible with him wherever he went. In November 1914, while Smith was on patrol in the middle of the night, a German bomb exploded very close, and another threw Smith to the ground, and he fell heavily on his hip and injured himself. As he lay wounded on his way to hospital, he wondered why it was that such a big blast had not done more damage to him. He pulled out the Bible from the little sewn-in pocket of his trousers and discovered that the main force of the shrapnel had pierced into the little Bible and prevented it going right through into his skin. He eventually was taken out of the ambulance, taken to his hospital bed, and opened up his Bible once again and noticed that the shrapnel had gone all the way through and stopped at Psalm 90, verses 9 to 11. "For you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." The very verse his father had copied at the beginning of the Bible. That's a true story of a young man who devoted himself to remembering God. And the promise of the Bible is that if we are active in remembering our Lord Jesus Christ in this life, on the last day, we will be welcomed to his presence and he will remember us. So my hope and prayer for you as we go through what's a very somber, solemn occasion on this day and again on the 11th, as we actually remember it as a nation, as we remember the great sacrifice that others have made for us, that as we ponder it, it'll help us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life so that we might be saved. If you'd like to chat more about any of that, I'll be around afterwards, and we've got a little booklet I'll be happy to give you if you'd like a copy. But for now, let's just pray together. Today, we thank you, our Father and our God, for those who paid in blood for our freedom. And Lord, as we've already paused this morning, we thank you for their sacrifice. We pray that we will not forget. And we pray also, Lord, that as we've gathered in this place of Christian worship, that we will remember you. Help us to be active in remembering you in this coming week, so that we may have confidence in you as our Saviour and our King. In Jesus' name.